We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Where is the power in the church today? Is it in buildings, programs, or where is it? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we return our thanks to you that you have given to your church the Word, that Word that reveals to us who we are, sinners in need of grace, that Word that reveals to us that you have sent your Son, Christ Jesus, to redeem us. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that through that Word you will work today to accomplish that which will build the kingdom of God. Where there is no faith, we pray that you will build it. And where there is faith in the hearts of many, we pray that you will strengthen it, that we may move out into our world and tell the story of Christ as dynamically as we can. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe and are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is a wise man? Where is a scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. The Gospel for the day.
Christ,
as I mentioned to you last week, I believe the church has caught the attention of the world. And so the world is asking many, many questions that I'm not so sure they did a few years ago. We live in a world that craves power. And so it is only natural for them to ask, where is the power in the church? We see that love for power in our society, in our little communities. Walmart has built a large superstore in our community. It's a beautiful store, and you can find just about anything from a hot dog to a diamond ring there. Very interesting to walk through it. But it is also true that several smaller stores in our town are having a very, very difficult time. And as I visit with some of those who own these businesses, they will say, well, the competition is greater and greater and greater. Once I served on a hospital board. We thought, and it was, a great hospital. It wasn't so small. I think there were between 200 and 250 bedrooms and or rooms, and we were taking care of all kinds of people, including doing some open-heart surgery. And then one day we were told that if we wanted to continue on, we had to become a part of a larger health system. In other words, it was getting very competitive out there, and if we wanted to compete and give the best health service possible, it would be necessary for us to have all kinds of equipment that at the present time we did not have. And so we found ourselves adjoining a very, very fine health system. But behind it all, there was that thought of power, because power produces money, and that's what it takes today. Now, it is interesting to notice that the church has not escaped this idea of power either. Once in a while, some of our friends or members of the church that we used to serve will say, we were in this certain part of the country, and we visited Saddleback Church. My, you ought to see that church. Now, we thought back in Iowa, we had a pretty good-sized church with 4,300 members. But out there, those churches run 20, 30,000. Or if you go to the Crystal Cathedral, what a huge place that is. And what great blessings these larger churches bring to a lot of people. I'm not talking against that today. There are many blessings that come from these larger congregations. It is interesting, however, what impresses people when they go to these churches. And so occasionally I will ask the question, what did you like when you were at that church? What did you hear? What did you take home with you? And some will say, oh, the building was magnificent. The music was out of this world. The programs that they offer are simply great. The speaker was also very forceful. And then I might say, because I'm a preacher and I want to know how much they retain of the message, what did he have to say to you? And then they turn around and say, well, are you embarrassing me? I can't remember what the sermon was, but what he preached, boy, it was very, very dynamic. And if you gave me some time, perhaps if I looked at some of the notes in my bulletin, I could recall it all. I'm sure that you probably could. But where do you think the power is in that large church? Now, once in a while, I'll ask a friend of mine who never goes to church, what did you get when you went to that church just because you were a sightseer? What impressions do you bring home with you? Well, quite often they'll say it's got to be a powerful institution in that community. Its organization, its program, its personnel was outstanding. So then you could ask, well, what about the church in the small town? What about the little church on the corner? What about the church like the one I'm serving now in a small Iowa community as a retired pastor? Wonderful people. Is there any power there? Is there any power there compared to the Crystal Cathedral or Saddleback or wherever else you may go? Well, obviously, the average church member does not really know where the power is. Maybe I ought to correct that. That's being a little hard. The average person out there in that world who has very little to do with Christianity and the church has no idea where the power is in that church. Consequently, if a church is not rather imposing, it may not have much effect on the community. Well, friends, of course they have missed a point. For here, if you take a look at God's holy word, you find out where the power is. Listen to this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In other words, the power of the church is found in the message of the cross. Now that is exactly what the Word of God has to say. But perhaps the church has confused the world as to where its power is. If so, let us apologize to you, world, and I speak now to those of you who may not have any connection with the church or may not confess to be a Christian. Let me apologize if we've gotten your attention and you're still scrutinizing us and set the record straight. I'd like to share with you a quote that comes from the book of John Stott. I mentioned him last week, and I'll mention him many more times during the next few weeks. Stott writes, "Power is more intoxicating than alcohol, more addictive than drugs. I confess to being frightened by the contemporary evangelical hunger for power, even the quest for the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do you want to receive power? Is it honestly power for witness as in Acts 1:8, or holiness, or humble service? Or is it in reality a mask for personal ambition, a craving to boost our own ego, to minister to our own self-importance, to impress, to dominate, or to manipulate. For some, evangelism is a disguised form of imperialism, since it builds human empires instead of the kingdom of God. Only one imperialism is Christian, and that is a concern for His Imperial Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ, a longing for the glory of His kingdom, for the honor of His name. So writes John Stott. Think about it, friend. Think about it, that we in the church, like people in the business world, can say that we want power, that we might impress somebody else. Well, I know that there is an element of truth behind this, because while I have never had a church of 25,000 members, I have had what was considered here in the Midwest, in an average-sized community, a large church. And there were many things that we could do. And we were always on the course of doing something greater and bigger all the time. In the days of retirement, I have had an opportunity to reflect and to ask that very same question that John Stott is asking. What were we trying to do? And if we were trying to do anything more than preaching the message of the crucified and risen Christ in one form or another, that is, not only from the pulpit and the Sunday school, but in every activity, then I think we had to ask ourselves the question, was our motive good? The message of the cross, now let's get that straight, is this, that I am a sinner, and God can have nothing to do with my sin. But He loves me, and so in the fullness of time He sent into this world His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, took all of my sins and the sins of all the world upon Him. He nailed them to the cross. He died. And then on the third day He was raised again. God had accepted the payment for our sin. Now we were the children of God forever if we would receive Christ. It is offered to us. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we will accept Him, then we are God's children forever. That's the power of the church, to preach this message as best we can and then leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. Now, how is this biblical message received? Well, if you go back and take a look at our text today, it says, when the Jews heard it, they considered it a stumbling block. They demanded miracles. They wanted a Messiah who would come and be their military leader, and they would capture Rome, or they would be freed up at least from Rome themselves. That's what they wanted. The gospel of forgiveness of sins was an offense to them. I wonder if that isn't quite true today. I hear people say something along that same line. You know, I would believe in this gospel if somebody would come back from the dead and tell me about it. See, you're looking for a sign. The Bible goes on to say the Greeks said it is all foolishness. They wanted wisdom. Isn't that pretty much the same as we say today? It doesn't make sense that one dying for all, and that because Jesus did die, then I can be completely forgiven if I trust in Him. There've got to be many ways to heaven. It's not of a universalism that everybody is going to eventually get there. That's common in our day. Well, but for those of us who are in the process of living in this word and knowing that the salvation has come through the message of this word, whether we Jews or Greeks or Germans or Norwegians or English or Danes or whatever we may be, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. That's the power of the church. While we have your attention, world, if some of you may be listening, and you have our church under scrutiny and the right you have to that, the most powerful place in your community is the Church of Jesus Christ, if it proclaims the message of the cross, Christ crucified and raised. If you've received him into your life, then you're his forever. And there you have security. You have the promise of a heavenly home. You know that Jesus Christ walks with you. You know that he's your comfort in difficult times. He's your home where you can gather with him and your children. And there together you can be bound together in a love which nothing can separate. Without Christ, siblings fight, parents and children fight, parents are at odds with one another. It can be a terrible, chaotic mess. But put Jesus Christ into your home, and he's the one who can make a difference. So you see, here we talk about the powerful institutions of our day, and we thank God for every one of them. The power, for example, of the hospital. My knee hurts. My heart doesn't work right. And so I find my way to the hospital and they fix it up. Thank God for our hospitals. For they give us a few more years of comfort and peace while we're here. Peace, physically speaking. But then some more years go by and the old frame begins to wear out. And I can't anymore. And society can't help me anymore. That's when I need Christ. And I need him long before that day, but I need Christ. And Christ comes to us through the preaching of the cross. That's why it's the most important place in your church, in your community. You walk into the place of business. You have enough money to buy anything you want, houses, automobiles, vacations, boats, recreational equipment. And you get them all and you enjoy them and thank God for every one of them. But sooner or later, they bring little peace and joy to your soul. That's when we need Christ. And Christ is there. And that's why the church is always saying, we have the power that can turn a life around. I heard a documentary on President Bush not long ago, and there's nothing political about this, but they were quizzing Bush on his process of reasoning and values. And he went on to tell him, he said, well, I am a Christian. Jesus Christ lives in my heart. I can't explain it to you. Is he the perfect man? No, he is not. Is he the perfect leader? No, he is not. And that is not my purpose to try to promote or demote anybody. But the President of the United States was right when he said, I can't explain this. But the power is in Jesus Christ. You have to experience it to know it. Well, next week we're going to continue the same series of sermons. We're going to talk about who are these people who know that power in their lives. And the week after that, who are the leaders in the church who introduce you to this power? Pray for this series, will you? Amen.
Christ the Son.
Will you pray with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us in your word today and reminding us that whether it be a crystal cathedral or it be a middle-sized church or a small church, that the power of that church is in the cross, of knowing that Jesus has suffered and died for us. He has been raised again, and he takes us by the hand as he will this week. We know not what the week has in store for us, but we know who walks with us if he lives in our hearts. Comfort and be with those who are sick, the sorrowing, the shut in. Grant, O God, that your word may be that balm in Gilead that will comfort them in their hour of difficulty. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Share the word of Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware, we can increase our radio and internet ministry by sharing the word and spreading the light so no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. Many of you have become a broadcast sponsor, sending a gift of $100. This generous gift helps us to pay for 1 week's broadcast on the station you listen to. We thank our broadcast sponsors for helping us buy radio time on 29 stations in 11 states across the nation. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Reverend Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 42 years.